Amen. Wonderful to be here together with all of you tonight. So many faces from Sunningdale here and Milderton. So lucky to see you guys. And Well, the Lord is wanting to fill us. He's wanting to fill our jars. But I think it's a very real thing that we sometimes don't bring it to the Lord. We don't, when we live our lives, but we don't actually trust Him for more. And I just trust, even as we look at just running the race, and I'm going to ask Kegwin to come and share a dream she had this week with us. But it really is about the race, you know. And sometimes we can, the scripture I'm thinking of, it's in Galatians 5 verse 7. So this isn't what I've prepped for, but I just felt just to bring the scripture up. Galatians 5 verse 7, Colin, I don't know if you can pull it up. But it says, "You are running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth?" You know, and sometimes there's this, we don't bring those things to the Lord. We don't trust Him for the more. And it's like someone cuts in on us on the race that we are to run for the Lord. So I'm trusting that the Lord just does something in our lives this morning as we look at Scripture. But I'm going to give Kegs a gap to share just what the Lord just showed her this week.
Evening. I had a dream on Tuesday night, which I woke up in the morning and I just, it felt like it had impacted me so deeply. And I shared it with Cliff, and Cliff said he would love to share it, that I must share it with the congregation. And so on Tuesday night, I went to bed, and in my dream, I dreamt that I was running a race. And I absolutely love running, and it's my hobby, and I really enjoy it. And I was at the start line, and you know how when you're about to run a race, I don't know if anyone, your nerves start and you get butterflies in your tummy. Anyway, I had to go to the loo, so I quickly went to the loo, and I just quickly saw in the bathroom there was this, as I opened the bathroom door and I went to the loo, I just saw these like slats on the door, and I thought, wow, that feels like, I hope nobody can see me inside here. And in that moment, I felt pretty vulnerable. I felt like, I hope I'm not being exposed here. And then I didn't think about it again. And I went out, and I went out of the bathroom. And as I got out the bathroom and I was going back to the start line, the person who was running with me said, "I'm not going to run the crown anymore." And I was like, "What? What do you mean you're not going to run the crown? How?" And in that moment, I thought, how am I going to do that alone? How am I going to run the crown alone? And I was like, what? Well, maybe I should just run the contour. Maybe I shouldn't do the hard. Maybe I should just do the easy. Because, you know, I always choose the hard, man. Why don't I just choose the easy? And I woke up with these words, run the crown, run the crown. And I looked it up. As I looked it up, the Lord led me to the scripture that Cliff's going to speak on this evening.
And Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians 9. And so this is the scripture that Kegwin highlighted. So I thought I'd steal her word and I'd preach it. So she didn't write this preach, just to confirm I wrote this preach. But She gave me the idea, and I trust that the Lord touches you just in this and encourages you to run the race, actually, that the Lord has got for each one of us. Paul writes over here in 1 Corinthians 19, verse 27, and he's fully aware that they know what a runner looks like. They know about someone that's running for a prize. And actually the games happened in that time. The games, the Olympic Games, took place in Greece every 4 years. And they started, they started from 776 before Christ, okay, right through to when it was stopped by Emperor Theodosius in AD 393. So that's a total, a span of 1,169 years that the Olympics were held in Greece. And so they were fully aware of those that trained hard, those that beat their bodies into shape so that they could achieve the prize, which was just a wreath around their head and the acknowledgement, actually, that they've come first and the glory of that one moment. And that's what they exercised and focused their lives on. And so the Corinthians church, when Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, they were fully aware. They'd seen those that had, and obviously enjoyed it. And it's the same as us. When we look at TV and we watch someone doing sport, there's an appreciation for the effort, the discipline that they've put in to get there. And achieve that. And so Paul writes us knowing and knowing that the Corinthian church knows what this is. And so he wants to parallel this. He wants to create a moment that every time that they see someone training for this and they go to the games, that they can have this parallel to the spiritual life, to the greater reality that's in us as believers. And so he writes us and he's giving us a perspective of what is happening. Why is he doing what he does? And so I want you to just imagine this, you getting this letter, and it's like I want to remind you and that you take from this tonight that every time you switch on the TV or you at a game, that there's something of a parallel to your race that the Lord has called you. And so he writes, and I want you to grab his heart tonight. I want you to see what Paul writes and what's on his heart, what's his focus. And so he says, though I am free and I belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Are you getting a grasp of what he's about? Okay. To the Jews, I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I become like one under the law. Though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I become like one not having the law. Though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I become weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. Okay, and we're going to just hold it there, go back to that. That's his focus, to become all things to all men, so as to win some. And as a believer, and I'd probably say that's a mature believer. You know, and so I don't want you to feel like actually, if that's not your heart, you know, I'm nowhere. But as a believer, this should be something that starts to become more and more evident in your life, that you are living to reach the lost, that you are living to bring others to Christ, that you become all things to all men, so that you may win some. And so there should be this in our lives, this thing that's increasing. Okay, and then it says, I do all of this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. Okay. Do you not know that in a race, and so yeah, he gives us this picture, and he says, in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. And so they were quite aware of those that, you know, they got this wreath or whatever from winning, but it didn't last. And it was a moment on the podium. And actually, the race that we involved, you know, the crown that we get lasts forever. The crown of righteousness lasts forever. And he says that they do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself may not be disqualified from the prize. And Paul had been asked by the Lord. The Lord arrested him and asked him and said to him and showed him himself and said, you know, Jesus. I mean, Paul says, you know, who are you, Lord? When he knocked him down and he said, you know, I am Jesus who you persecute. Paul, and when he turned to the Lord, there was this change and God gave him a purpose in life to serve the Lord fully. And the Lord said to him, you're going to suffer many things for my name. So, you know, if he had said no to the Lord, I that's like a deep theological question. Where would he be? Would he actually have lost his salvation if he hadn't been listening to the Lord? But so he's very aware that this thing, that this race that he's to run, he wants to run, and he wants to make sure that he is running it, that he's not disqualified, that he's given himself fully to what God has called him to run, that he's like this runner that's focused and pushing in to what the Lord is, you know. And I was so aware this Friday, actually, I went for a run, and it's the first time I've had a run for a long time. I thought, no, I've got to get my exercise in. Do a bit of squash, but I haven't been doing running. Flip's frowning at me because he runs every week, like 3 times. but I looked on my watch, you know, and it gives you an indication of, you know, your stats and all that. And it gives a summary of what that was, and it said strained. You know, and for me that's like a wow. That's a reminder of the scripture. There's a straining towards. You know, the scripture talks about that we strain towards to grab hold of that which Christ grabbed hold of our lives for, and you know, I'm trying to think where that scripture is. In Philippians 3, verse 7, Philippians 3, verse 12, sorry, Colin, I'm jumping around over here. It says, I'm going to just read it to you. Not that I've already obtained all of this or been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And so there's this strain, and it says, brothers, do not consider yourself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And so Paul gives us a glimpse of his straining towards the call heavenward. In other words, his salvation, the call of his of the Lord, straining towards that. You know, when we get saved, the word talks about 3 types of saved. We are saved when we give our life to the Lord, and we are being saved as we allow the Lord to work in our lives, and then we will be saved when the Lord appears and he gives us that crown of righteousness. And so we're involved in this race. Every one of us that are believers, we're involved in this race where there has to be this straining towards that. And, you know, just that in verse 20, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 26, Paul writes over there and he says, so I run with purpose in every step. He says, I'm not just shadow boxing. I'm not just, you know, punching loosely in the air. He runs with purpose and he's not wasting energy. You know, I don't know if any of you have seen, there's an old YouTube clip of these two guys having, they got boxing gloves on and they're going to do, you know, they're going to box. And the one is very athletic, you know, and there's a crowd of people around, he's doing cartwheels, and he's sort of like, and I want to give you this picture of shadow boxing, and he's punching the air, and then he's doing another cartwheel, and then he's doing one-handed, handstand in front of his opponent now. And he carries on with this, and now he's actually engaged. The match has started, you know, and the fight has started, and he's doing this cartwheel, and he's all around this guy, and his opponent is fairly calm, and just standing there, and he does this cartwheel to engage in the fight, and this other guy does one movement. He times it precisely as he's coming up from the cartwheel. He just gives him one shot to the jaw, and he's out. And, all this showing off, all this excitement, and actually no purpose. He was shadow boxing. He was just, sometimes we get so excited for the things of God and the Lord, but we don't make any decision in our lives. We all harp, but there's no decision to do what the Lord says. And so Paul writes and he shows us that, you know, he's saying that in this race, I'm not shadow boxing. I'm not just, I'm throwing my punches exactly where they need to go. I'm running this race. I'm disciplined in this. He says over there, I run with purpose in every step. Are you running with purpose in your every step for the Lord? In every aspect of your life? In 1 Corinthians 9 verse 27, he says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training to do what it should. I discipline my body as an athlete. And we all know, and we've seen many, those that train to get their bodies to actually do what they want them to do. You know, sometimes we can just go for, do a marathon without any training. Hey? I had a friend of mine, his wife decided she was going to do the Ironman with no training. And so she was officially the last lady or the last person to come in. You know, there's a cutoff. There's a cutoff to that that time. I don't know the details. Those of you who've done it and will know. And she just came in she was the last person. But you know what? Because she hadn't trained, because she hadn't given herself to the discipline, what happens was she crossed the line and she'd lost all her toenails. In that, she was determined. She was determined to get this done. But there was no training. There was no looking, and I want to give us some practical things on just this discipline. Practically running, how does it work for us? You know, the Lord's called us to run this race, and we've got to be those that are training ourselves to listen to the Lord and to be and to run this race that He's called us to. And so the first one in 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5, it says, the first thing I want to give us is there's examining our lives. That's the first part of it, is examining our lives. Paul uses this regularly. He talks about self-examination. He says over here, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Ask, is Christ in me? Is Christ in me? Am I running in a way that when that marshal on the course says, no, 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 you can't cut in over here. No, no, you haven't trained enough. When people look at our lives, when we look at our lives, are we able to say, actually, I am running this race. Jesus is in me. If he's not in you, that's the first step, is asking the Lord into your life. But this is part of this examination. First, examine our lives. Is Christ in me? There's a reorder. The second one is reorder of our priorities for the sake of the gospel. Are we living this life? Because remember, he spoke about a wreath that is temporary. And we are getting a crown that is eternal. What are our priorities? If we really believe that, if it really is something we believe, what is there that's changing in our priorities? We train with intent. Like an athlete, you know, you don't just decide you're going to run. There's some training that's involved. You sit and you work out a program. We're going to do this the first week. By the 10th week, this. And you've got a whole program. You're training with intent. There's, as we're looking at our lives, there's regular workouts, you know, before you get there. So it's reading the word. It's getting into prayer. It's, if the Lord's convicting you of something, there's repentance and turning away from that. It's pushing into the presence of Jesus. There's this, like, if you want people to see that you've been with Jesus, you need to be with Jesus. There's being part of a community, using the gifts that the Lord has given you to bless his body. He's not living, we're not living a life aimlessly. We're living a life with purpose. And so we're listening to the Lord. We're saying, okay, you're training with intent. Lord, what are you saying to me? You know, maybe it's for some it's just a simple step of training of like, Lord, I'm committed to being part of a community on a Wednesday night. But, my word, look at this rain. I don't know. I'm like, it's warmer at home, you know. It's like, I'm going to get wet out there. There's this training. Actually, as the Lord speaks to you, there's an adjustment, you know. As we bring up little ones, you know, there's this like, okay, Dan and Gabs starting soon. You know, there's this like, I want to run for the Lord. I want to run for the Lord in everything. But suddenly this baby comes along and you know what? My life has changed. Suddenly I'm tired. Suddenly I haven't got enough hours. Suddenly, those are some hard decisions of training to say, actually, I don't want to give up meeting with the saints. I don't want to give up doing what the Lord has called me to, because I see the Lord's purpose. I'm running this race. I'm not here just for a temporary. I'm running with purpose, and I'm training with intent. Refuse presumption. You know, sometimes we think, okay, pride blinds us, actually. We need to listen to Paul when he writes in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. You got it there? So if you think you are standing firm, be careful you don't fall. And in Matthew 7 verse 22, Jesus talks and there's those that come to him and say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name?" And that's a really scary scripture, that there are going to be those that have prayed for the sick and seen healing, and the Lord's going to say this to them. He's going to say, "Away from me, I never knew you." And so we are on this, don't presume that your life is at that place. There's this constantly working and allowing the Lord, pushing into the Lord, this like straining in getting to know the Lord, straining in meeting with him regularly. Run in weakness is the next point. You know, if you are sick, you know, how can I serve the Lord? If I'm old, how can I serve the Lord? I'm lying in bed and I can't get up. I've had an operation and I'm at this place where I am incapacitated. You know, the discipline is adapted, not abandoned. There's Alex will know, he's, what are you now, 76? 70? 72. 72. And he's still in gym every day. And discipline is adapted, not abandoned. There's, as we, you know, I was doing the cliff walk. As I was running along there, and some of you know this, I saw this old lady. She must have been like late 80s, 90s. She was disciplined. She was disciplined. She was going as fast as she could with her three-pong walking stick. And she wasn't moving faster than this. But she was disciplined. She had, as I said, she's adapted, not abandoned discipline. She was out there walking. So I was doing my run, and I realized, actually, she is doing a marathon. So normally when you run along the cliff path, you see a runner coming, you get off the path. And I saw a runner coming, not at a pace, but I got off the path. Because I recognize that she is running a race, a marathon. She had adapted, not abandoned her discipline. She could have been sitting, you know, at home, enjoying a fire, or just not thinking about going and exercising, but she was exercising. And so we called. And I want to drop this with us, that when we see someone exercising, when we see there's a recognition that we as believers need to be exercising, we are needing to be taking hold of that which Christ has taken hold of us for. Is Christ in you? Was the first thing. That we take hold of that. And I want to say that's the first step. There's an examination in our lives. Is Christ in me? Because this should be the drive. This should be the thing that we are running on. This is the race that we, you know, that is far superior than the race that we see others run to get a prize for the glory of man for a moment. We can be running as believers where our prize is eternal. A crown of righteousness. It's not just for now. It's for eternity. Isn't this something that we reorder our lives for? that we change our purpose for. I just pray, Lord, that, Lord, as we've come and we've brought these things, as we've heard you, Lord, as we've that there's an adjustment, Lord, that in our lives there's an adjustment that we don't just not the outward rah-rah of that fighter that did all these cartwheels, Lord, and yet was not focused on doing what he's been called to do. And your call is upon each one of us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you lead us in your ways, God. That you enable us to run this race. In your mighty name. Amen. Amen. I just trust that even as we are reminded every day of this race that the Lord has called us and each and every one of us, none excluded. If the Lord is in you, if the Lord Jesus is in you, this is what we're called to. Amen. Amen.